How many of you are on Instagram? I mean, not right this minute, but you use it from time to time. I bet quite a lot of you do. It's one of the big social networks right now. Why? Well, there's a lot of great things about Instagram, but if you want to know what the best thing about Instagram is, I'm going to tell you. Not enough people know about this feature, so I'm going to reveal it to you as a top tip for the day. And once you hear it, you are going to be amazed at the functionality of this incredible platform. Are you ready for it? You have to open the search bar, and you type in an @ sign, and then you follow that with these letters. Now, they have to be in this exact order, otherwise it doesn't work. Are you ready? ANDOVERBAPTIST. And then you hit enter, right? And Instagram takes you to a page where you can follow content from our church. Amazing, right? Who knew? I do have a few problems with Instagram, though, the chief of which is that Instagram has the ability to turn me into a seagull from time to time. Let me explain. I'm minding my own business, just surfing through pictures, and then all of a sudden, I see a picture like this. And all I can think of is stealing this guy's chips. As I'm sure you all know, that is the first thing that happens when a person starts to turn into a seagull. I'm also bothered by all the vacations people seem to have taken to places that I've never traveled. How dare they? Maybe I'd like to go to the Bahamas, but didn't everyone think of that before rubbing my nose in their adventures? No. And people, don't even get me started on all the happy people looking so stylish and hip while I'm sitting on my couch in a giraffe onesie. I mean, maybe you have more concrete problems, like living nearby to Karen. Okay, Karen, you have a nice house, Karen. That's quite obvious from the road. We don't need you to remind us on Instagram. And then she got a new car, as if something was wrong with her old one. But she has to let us all know how she's rolling these days. I saw you driving it, Karen. If I wanted a picture of your car on my phone, I would have used the camera app, not Instagram. What's that? Okay, so I did take some pictures of your car. Big deal, I haven't broken any laws. I think you can tell Instagram can negatively affect me. I mean, you know what happens when Karen gets a boat? I lose my mind. So I decided, nope, that's it. No more Instagram. I thought, no. But then I thought, wait, no, I'm not a quitter. So I decided to up my game. The plan was to make Karen as discontent with her perfect life as she made me. So I posted my filtered, cropped, touched up picture from the highlight reel of my life. Boom! In all seriousness, one of the great things about Instagram is that it reminds me that there really is no win in comparison. We're in part 5 of this series, You're Not the Boss of Me, where we're learning to say no to emotions that compete for control. And today, as you may have guessed, we're talking about envy. You know, the famous actor and comedian Jim Carrey once said, I think everyone should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so that they can see that it's not the answer. And he wasn't the first to discover that the envy of others who had enjoyed things that you lack would prove to be a very hollow emotion if your wishes all came true and you could do anything that you wanted. One of the richest and most powerful people on earth, King Solomon, wrote, "Envy rots the bones." You see, he learned this lesson through the experience of being envious of the possessions, the success, and the experiences of others before he had been able to try them all for himself. And having chased every pleasure that others had enjoyed so that he could stand shoulder to shoulder with anyone among the rich and famous, he discovered that nobody wins that kind of competition. Comparison either makes us arrogant because we're winning or leaves us feeling dejected because we're not. You know, we lose either way. And its highs and lows are really meaningless because they're as temporary as a person's ranking in the Sunday Times rich list. I mean, look at poor Selene Blavatnik. In 2015, he was the richest man in Britain with a net worth of £13.17 billion. And in 2019, he had increased his net worth to £14.37 billion. And in so doing, he had dropped to fourth place on the list. I mean, imagine working all of the hours that it takes to amass more than you have ever had before and more than you could ever spend, and yet suddenly being considered less rich than you were before. I mean, life is tough for some people. You know, 3,000 years ago, the same thing was going on. Everyone was competing. They were determining where they were based on where everyone else was. And just like porcelain, Solomon discovered that whilst all toil and achievement springs from one person's envy of another, this too is meaningless. You know, Solomon gives us this incredible, beautiful word picture describing the futility of trying to be at the top of the table as chasing after the wind. I mean, that's a great picture, isn't it? What does Solomon mean by this picture? Well, it's endless. There's no finish line. The wind just keeps on moving around you. You never stop and finally say, all right, I've got it now. The moment you think you've grasped it is the same moment you realize that it slipped through your fingers. And that's what a life filled with envy and controlled by envy is like. The moment you get the new thing you were chasing, there's something newer. Someone else gets something nicer. Your boat is big, but someone else's is bigger. Your car is fast, but there's a newer, faster model coming out, and your rival has it on pre-order. It's dissatisfaction guaranteed. You see, envy steals the joy from our accomplishments because someone else has always accomplished more. So when you catch yourself looking and wanting someone else's life, say, envy, you're not the boss of me. That's chasing the wind. I don't chase wind. It's a waste of my time. I will not waste my life. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't work hard or try to improve your circumstances. Solomon accomplished more in his lifetime than anyone else around him, and he did it through hard work. Let me tell you, anyone who tells you that you can become rich with very little effort is lying or doing something illegal. Solomon encourages hard work, saying, "Fools fold their hands and ruin themselves." But it's the motivation behind the work that matters. He clarifies exactly what he means with this statement. He says, "Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil." In other words, the goal is contentment, because we've worked to ensure that we have enough rather than because we have as much as others do or did at our age. You know, some of you are competing with your father, your mother, your sister, or your brothers, and they probably don't even know that you're doing it. While you're competing for their approval, you're missing out on the life that is available to you right now, the life you should be living right now. But you're so focused on the life that you imagine that you think that's what you need to be happy. But here's the thing. You will never be who you were born to be as long as you're looking over your shoulder at someone else. And if you're a Christian, if you say that you follow Jesus, then this is even more serious for you. Because you'll never experience God's purpose for your life while you are distracted by God's purpose for somebody else. He gave us an alternative. Solomon says, "Heart of peace gives life to the body." You cannot compare or compete your way to peace. You can't win chasing the wind. God has given you a race to run. Get in your lane, stay there, and thrive there. So here's three quick tips to a life of peace. Number one, count your blessings, not your neighbor's. We all do that, don't we? We all look at what other people have, but actually God has blessed us with so much already. Let's look at the things that He has already given us and be grateful for them. That's a secret to a life of peace. Number two, look to others for inspiration, not for imitation. You don't have to be like everyone else. You don't have to have the same experiences as everyone else. You don't have to have all the same stuff as everyone else in order for your life to be meaningful and happy. Number three, compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not to who someone else is today. That one comes to us from Jordan Peterson, and he's a guy who knows a lot about these things. You know, when you feel that feeling of envy creeping up on you, you need to say to it, "You are not the boss of me. I will not chase the wind. I will not waste the one life that God has given me to enjoy today." And if you can do that, then I believe God will empower you to live a life that is richer and more enjoyable than you have ever experienced. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that we don't have to be like everyone else in order for you to love us. We don't have to have what everyone else has in order for you to love us. And thank you that happiness is not dependent on our wealth. It's not dependent on our bank balance or the things, the trinkets that we collect, the things that so often we think are so important to us. Because you have blessed every single one of us with everything that we need for life and for living it the way that honors you. And so we ask, Lord, that you would give us some perspective, that you would help us to count our blessings before we count our neighbors, that you would help us to be inspired by the achievements of others and to encourage them to carry on, but never to think that we have to be exactly the same. Lord, help us to constantly look at ourselves and ask whether we are forming our character the way Jesus would have us form it, whether we are following after you and becoming more like you, not like anybody else. And we ask it because we believe you want what's best for us. You want us to find the secret to contentment in this life. And that contentment is found in knowing Jesus and becoming more like him, not like anybody else. Not in comparing ourselves to anybody else, but simply knowing that we are loved by you. Help us, Lord, because we are weak, but you are strong. In Jesus' name, amen.